opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris. 10 to 2 on 670.
Ben Johnson just stepped to the podium at Halas Hall. If I'm listening correctly to the guys behind the glass, he may have been a little feisty.
What are you guys going to do with Jalen Johnson? Is he going to be on the active roster?
That's the plan. Yep.
And what is the specific injury?
You can ask Ryan that one.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't like the sound of that.
And it sounded very bad.
It does. Like, yeah, he'll be on the roster, but after that.
At this late in the game, but there was just a lot of, we don't know. We'll figure it out. And it's like, can you afford to still have to figure it out right now?
Braxton Jones, your starter, week one at left tackle.
I'm not ready to talk about starters yet.
Sir, you are 13 days away from a football game of consequence.
Yeah, I don't love the, I'm not mentally prepared to talk about it. Boy, you better get mentally prepared to talk about it.
And so now you have an offense that has to show they can score points and a defense that wasn't very good last year, with a new defensive coordinator trying to figure out what they can do without their best player.
Please disperse. Nothing to see here, please.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Rahimi and Harris on The Score. I am Mark Grody in for Layla today. Layla will return on Monday. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are joined by Marshall Harris.
Yeah, that's me.
He is here.
His I'm microphone. Here. I'm up in here. Listen, it's okay. It's going to be okay, guys. That's just my message to everyone today. It's going to be okay.
What is not okay that you're considering that needs to be?
Oh, I'll let you continue and we'll get into that.
Okay. Well, we will get into that. Just want to tell you who we have here today. We have Tyler Farengol. We've got Robbie Triano. Ray Diaz has the day off today. Our Twitch producers, and you should watch on Twitch if you would like, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. And the people manning our video content, Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. Today on The Score, Ben Johnson, the Bears head coach, was on with Mully and Haw 8 o'clock this morning. If you would like to listen to it on the Odyssey app, we certainly invite you to do so. There was a question. So here's the way I want to do this. There was a question that I believe Mully, I think it was the last question of the interview.
Before we let you go.
The before we let you go question, which can be very valuable at times. The question was, and the answer, by the way, led to another question. But the question was, what do you consider to be success for the Chicago Bears this year? And I'm going to play the tape here in a second. But first, I would like to answer that question in itself. And for me, Marshall, I don't know if this is good or not. It's probably not good because it's the same thing that I set as their precedent last year. And that specifically was the quarterback has to make – you have to feel by the end of the season that you have – a quarterback that is going to be with this franchise for the next 7 to 10 years or so, or more, if you would like. I don't think that was accomplished last year for myriad of reasons, and we have been through those reasons just about every single day. It feels like the excuses that exist because of the coaching staff and the position in which Caleb Williams was put, just so many, just very disorganized last year. So we head into another season where I know we're all talking about wins, you know. I have the Bears for 9 to 10 wins, you know, like it's just crazy. Like the exercises we do, you can just wipe all that stuff clean from anybody, right? Because it's a silly exercise because we don't know who's going to be injured. We don't know anything until the season actually starts. So my goal again for this year is to know by the end of the season, no matter how many, if you have 6 wins, I still want to know that Caleb Williams is going to be your quarterback for the next 7 to 10 years. So, again, that is how I look at success for the Bears. Do you have a quarterback for your future? And if they win 6 or 7 games, and I can discern that they have a quarterback, I will be happy.
Mark, you're familiar with the movie Groundhog Day?
Yes.
The premise of Groundhog Day is what?
Is the same thing happens every single day.
So this is your Bears Groundhog Day. You know why I say that? Because that's the same question we've been asking for the last 4 seasons. If you really want to get into the nitty gritty of it, you asked that every year with Justin Fields once he got drafted as a first rounder. You asked it for 3 straight years. Then he was gone. You asked it of Caleb Williams last year. Guess what? What's that question again? The same question for 5 years running. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, yeah.
So my thing is this. At least this year, we're going to have an expedited, barring injury, an expedited answer to that question because Ben Johnson exists. That's the point. And success, you're right in terms of what it looks like going forward. But I would argue it's more than just that. I don't think that's enough. I need to see the progress not only from him, but to understand that on defense, you have playmakers and guys who are capable, because you just paid a lot of guys who are capable of making sure that you're good on both sides of the ball, good enough to compete in this division, the NFC North, arguably the toughest division in football, and that Ben Johnson can be a head coach. I know he's a great play caller, but we got to answer the question, can Ben Johnson be a good head coach? I think both those questions are very much intertwined, but you can't answer one without the other.
That's true. And speaking of which, we would like your interaction. If you have a answer that you would like to throw out there as we're throwing it out there, what do you consider to be success for the Bears? Because it's a crucial question. And look, hey, if there are fans out there that are saying playoffs are bust, I totally get it. I don't know what the patience level is of Bears fans right now. Feels to me like they're pretty patient with Caleb Williams, because any critiques that go Caleb's way, it's like, go easy on him. So I would be curious, and you could text or call 312-644-6767 on what you consider to be success. Let's play the cut now. So this is from this morning, again, Bears head coach Ben Johnson, On with Mully and Hall, and the question is on there, and you will hear Mully ask the question, what do you consider to be success for the Bears this year? And then the answer kind of rustled up another question, so let's hit that right now.
What do you consider success this year? Is it about development? Is it about winning games? I mean, what is it that you're looking for this season?
I think at the end of the day, we as a team, I'm talking about coaches and players alike, we need to establish our brand of football going forward, all right? And it's our physical nature. We need to be poised under pressure. We need to be detailed schematically and fundamentally. And I think the results will take care of itself, but it's really that buy-in with what we've been talking about from the spring to training camp that needs to show up for us over the course of the season. And we're going to just get better and better and better. We'll be playing our best football in December and January if we get that done.
All right, to me, and that's Ben Johnson with Mully and Haw, when he says we have to establish our brand of football, to me, I interpret that as we have to come up with our identity. We have to show you our identity. We've been asking this question for a decade.
Yes.
I can think of a couple times in the last 10 years, in the last decade, maybe just two, and maybe people could help me out here, where the Bears actually had an identity. The Bears had an identity in 2018. It was elite defense. It was supposed to be offense because Matt Nagy was here, and that was, you know, he was supposed to bring in this great Kansas City Chiefs Andy Reid version and do all the things, some of the things that he did do. So that was a year where they had an identity. And this is a stretch, but 2022, when Justin Fields was running like crazy and doing some of the fabulous, fantastic things that he did with his legs, that was an identity. That was a Bears identity that year. Not a good one. You're giving me the correct look because it is a bit of a stretch. And I always say this about that year, that Justin, he did unbelievable, record-setting, thrilling, Devin Hester-like things, and none of it mattered. None of it mattered for the Bears and winning, and it didn't matter for Justin Fields' career, although he is still a starting quarterback in the NFL. So I ask you, Marshall Harris, what do you think? I think maybe it's two-pronged. What do you think the identity of the Bears will be this year? What do you think the identity of the Bears should be this year? And maybe it's the same. Maybe it's just one and the same. But what do you think, Mr. Harris?
Well, what I love about that interview with Mullion Haugh from Ben Johnson is he confirmed what I've been saying all along. The identity of the Bears is pretty simple when you think about it. It's about offensive line and the investment that you have made there, and the fact that they are going to run the football. They are going to run the football, and everything they do offensively that will be successful will be predicated on the fact that they can and will run the football. It's not unlike what we saw in his time in Detroit, where, yes, you have playmakers and guys who can do things in the receiving core, the tight end, whether you're talking about Sam LaPorta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams. But at the end of the day, it was Sonic and Knuckles.
Yeah.
It was running the football. The proof is right there in what they did with the major overhaul of their offensive line. The proof is right there in when he says, I'm not ready to name a starter at left tackle because I want to make sure we have our best five guys and give all the time in the world for that to develop. He's going to run the football. And while Caleb Williams has been inconsistent, he has been up and down. Not so great at the mundane, but spectacular in two-minute and off-script stuff. He's going to be able to scheme up, design plays that protect Caleb Williams until he's at a satisfactory level as a franchise quarterback. Because guess what? They're going to run the football and run it some more and run it some more. And then off play action, when Caleb Williams is under center, he can go to work as a quarterback. But they're going to ease him into that role and make things easier for him. Because why? Because you're going to have to worry about them running the football.
I also think the why to that is I want Caleb Williams to be the identity of the Bears. I want the passing. I still want it. I still want the passing game to be the Bears' identity. I want Caleb Williams' arm to be the identity of the Chicago Bears. I get it. It's with a Ben Johnson offense, having had the two running backs that he had, or three straight 1,000-yard rushers. I can't remember who the third one was. David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, maybe Farrengold, you look that up. You write that down. So you looked that up. You write that down.
Swift didn't get to 1,000 under him, right?
That's a good question.
Was it Jamal Williams?
I think you're right, baby T. I think you just nailed it. Look at that. You don't have to look anything up today, baby T. Nice job by
you. You're sitting in that chair. You're the Detroit guy. That's what happens.
Wow. That is the truth. Wow.
So you're the Chicago guy then.
Hey, go Bears. Bear down. All right.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, Robbie Triano did proclaim as we were walking into the studios that he is all things Chicago sports. Like, he can't help himself with the Lions, and I get that. But he is. You are Chicago, my friend.
To the people of the city of Chicago, I'm going to become a Chicago sports fan. That's just something I'm going to do, except for the 2 weeks this year where you play the Lions. So that's what's going to happen.
I think it's a pretty good PR move. I would love it if the Bears could have a running game that is, you know, close to what Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell were able to establish in Detroit, but it feels like a bit of a reach right now.
Well, see, that's the thing, Mark. You're talking about right now. What did I tell you about how the season was going to go? You had me on your show one dark and stormy night. I don't know if it was raining or not. It adds to the lore of it all.
It might have been dark that
night.
And
I explained to you why they were going to finish under 500, because they were going to get off to a slow start.
Yeah.
Because they weren't going to have everything figured out. You just heard Ben Johnson, not with Mullion Haugh, but the last time he talked publicly, talk about the bye week, and that was going to be pivotal in them trying to adjust and see up until the bye week what they have, what they don't have, what's working, what's not working, and adjust. It's going to be about the adjustments, because they're not going to start with this big bang. They may win on Monday Night Football because they're going up against a rookie quarterback. Take advantage of that.
Yeah.
But after that, Detroit, You're going up against some veteran coaches and some veteran quarterbacks. You got the Cowboys early. You got Geno Smith and the Raiders early on the road. I'm trying to tell you, it ain't going to be all roses and sunshine early. There's going to be some still we're figuring things out. And that's okay, because that's the way it was always going to be. As he said in the interview with Mullion Hall, we just need to be playing our best football by the end of the season. He understands it's going to be steps. And unlike last year, where it was, oh, well, let's go play some FCS teams to start the season, like they're a college powerhouse in the SEC or the Big Ten. No, no. You're playing real teams off rip.
You know what I can't wait for? Like, think you're talking about the Bears and Vikings. I think in that Bears-Vikings game, I think both teams, because you have two really good coaches. We think Ben Johnson's going to be a head coach. We know he's a good offensive coordinator.
We have two good coordinators right now. Ben Johnson as the play caller for the Bears, Dennis Allen calling the defense. Those are two guys I can plant my flag on and say they know what they are doing. They have had success in the NFL.
I can't wait for the first drives for both teams, for the Vikings and for the Bears, because you have, again, two great head coaches, right, or two really good offensive minds who are going to script the hell out of those first drives.
Oh, you have to worry about the first 15 this year?
Oh, man. God. Yeah. Yeah, the first... We did go through all of that. There's certain things that we went through
last
year.
You try to put it out of your memory. I'm just here to remind you.
Well, they still baffle me. I'm like, wow, that really happened. We went through all of that with the offense with Waldron last year. But I just think, like, low-key, that's going to – I think both teams – I think it's going to be 7-7 in the first quarter. I'm already calling it 7-7 in the first quarter of that. Both teams will strike early, and then it's going to get sloppy as the game goes on.
You know what I just heard? You have more faith in the Bears offense than you do in the Bears defense. Welcome to the party. Wow. Come jump on this bandwagon.
Wow. I didn't say anything about the Bears defense.
Why is J.J. McCarthy leading an opening drive at Soldier Field for a touchdown?
Because when you script a drive, you know what? I'll give you a good comp. Mitch Trubisky marched down the field in his first drive under Matt Nagy in Green Bay, and then it went from there in that actual game. And for his career.
That's bad for the career.
I mean, come on. We've all seen script like where a team just comes out and they're like, wow, like right down the field. And then the next drive is like nothing.
I didn't see that last year, so I'm glad you're talking about it.
I'm not talking about the Bears necessarily. All right. If you want to get in on this, well, a bunch of text messages coming out. We'll interact with you at 312-644-6767. We're really throwing out a couple of questions out there on the Bears right now. What do you, the Bears fan, what do you consider, what will you allow to be success for the Chicago Bears? And what do you think the identity for the Chicago Bears will be? What do you want the identity for the Chicago Bears to be?
I also want to remind people to keep listening for your chance to win a pair of general admission tickets to hang out with one Mark Grody, Riot Fest, Sunday, September 21st, featuring performances by Green Day, Idols, Bad Religion, Inhaler, and more. But yeah, more texts, more calls. Let's go.
It's the Raheemy and Harris Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Raheemy and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What do you consider success this year? Is it about development? Is it about winning games? I mean, what is it that you're looking for this season?
That's the question. What do you consider to be success for the Bears? And what do you think their identity will be? Because we have to ask that question usually about four games into every season, where we're throwing our arms up in the air like we care and saying, what the hell is the identity of the Bears? And I identified two seasons in the last 10 where I thought they had an identity. 2022, Justin Fields doing spectacular things, which ended up not mattering as awesome as it was to watch that man run the football. And then the 2018 elite defenses. We welcome you back into the Raheemy and Harris Show on The Score. I am Mark Grody.
Yes, you are.
Look at you, man. You're all juiced up today, smiling. And you know why I like that? Because you have just been in pain. Like, I see the pain and the... No, it's not pain. It's agony on your face. Because you can't do the things Marshall Harris usually likes to do in his life. And you have a very regimented sort of lifestyle.
I've been told it's overly regimented, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's my life. You don't have to live it. So that's why I tell people who say I'm overly regimented.
Yeah.
So no, it's good. But you know why I'm smiling? Because we're talking about football, 53-man roster, the initial is out. I don't expect it to stay the same because it never does.
That's right.
Waiting on the practice squad to see who's going to be the 16-member panel that will be, according to Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson, elevated at points this season to help that team. And the risk, of course, you can get those guys poached at any time. But I like the idea that we're getting close to real football.
Yeah, we all need it. It's like, I always say, like, you know, when players start to talk about in training camp where they say, we got to hit somebody else. As talk show hosts, we got to talk about a real game. We got to talk about real stuff, you know, instead of speculation and all of that, which we, you know, which we do and we have fun with and we're doing it right now. But we all need a real game. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I love this one. And we can kind of go back and forth here on the text line. A couple of calls lined up as well. We'll bounce around 312-644-6767 if you want to get in right now. What do you consider to be success for the Bears this year? What do you think their identity will be? I love this. From the 815, the identity I pray the Chicago Bears will be this season is that they don't suck. And that's fair, you know what I mean? Considering that the Bears have kind of sucked for the last 4 or 5 years. Like, that is, although it sounds funny and basic, yeah. If at the end of this season you feel like the Bears don't suck, that might be something of a success.
Okay, no. The bar has to be higher than that.
I accept that bar. That's not my bar. I accept that, though, from Bears fans who have been watching this team year after year after year and being like, this sucks. Rosenblum.
Can they not suck and Caleb Williams not be determined whether or not he's your franchise quarterback of the future? Your own goal, does it align with what that caller or that texter is saying?
Well, I feel like at the end of the year, Caleb Williams is the Bears' future quarterback, and I got no issues with that, then the Bears will not have sucked. You know what I mean?
They could have 5 wins, and Caleb Williams can be awesome,
right? But it would. I would think if Caleb Williams is awesome this year, that would suggest to me that the offensive line was good, that some of these wide receivers that the Bears are banking on to be good, like Romadun Zaina's second year, Luther Burden, who knows? Like, sky's the limit for Luther Burden. I feel like those things will have been good for the Bears. I will, just to answer your question, I will accept 5 or 6 wins still. Like, if weird things happen, if crazy things happen.
Well, crazy things happened last year.
I know, but there was a manner in which those things happened. Right?
That's what made them crazy.
Right. So it.
I don't know what you're allowing for. Injury?
But there was incompetence in some of those losses. Like, straight up, if the Bears lose straight, like man for man, they lose the games, that's a lot different than Tyreek Stevenson playing to the crowd or a blocked field goal at the end of a Green Bay game, which I guess does happen. That is a football thing. But I'm talking about fair loss. Losses. You know what I'm saying? Like, a loss that we're not talking about the extracurricular portion. We're not talking about a bad offensive game plan by Shane Waldron. We're not talking about clock management by Matt Eberflus, all the peripheral stuff. If you lose man-to-man and it's a well-played game, I could accept the Bears having 6 or 7 wins if the quarterback is good.
847 on the text line. It's a new coach with a second-year number one overall QB. Obviously, this is a new regime, and they must establish a new identity of controlling the line of scrimmage. Well said. That completely aligns with what I'm talking about. Offensive line was brought in for a reason. You're telling me your defensive line is good enough that now Andrew Billings, who was the best run stopper you had, is now a second string guy. The signs are there. I just need to see the execution. And with Caleb Williams specifically, because 415 says, Marshall likes criticizing Poles and Johnson and the defense to divert attention away from the QB. No. I'm just a lot more patient than a lot of people are when it comes to Caleb Williams. I see what I see with the inconsistency. Ben Johnson's job is to get him up to snuff and in the meantime have the offense still going up and down the field scoring points. So I understand it may take halfway through the season before Caleb Williams is up to par.
312-644-6767 is the number. I'm being told to go to Kevin on the Odyssey app. What up, Kevin? You're on the Raheem and Harris Show with Mark Rohde.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. How are you?
Good. So I got 2 points. First is my expectations for the Bears. If they're not at least a bare minimum 8 wins and being in the playoff conversation or wild card conversation, I do think it's going to be a failed season because they should have that kind of improvement. And my last point I wanted to ask you guys before I hang up and listen to your answers are, with the concern that everybody has for the defensive line, why not go out and sign a Za'Darius Smith or a Jadeveon Clowney in an incentive-laden deal? There's really no risk to that. I would love to see hear what you guys think about that.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I mean, it's funny. Like, they did that a couple of years ago with, you know, they're like, we got to get somebody. And it was Yannick Ngakoue. So there is precedent to that, to Ryan Poles, you know, identifying that and realizing that. My thing here is that they are going to, like, even though we're not seeing it, because you look at Dio Odangbo, we've been through this a lot. His career high is 8 sacks. We know that Montez Sweat, except for a couple of years ago, this, you know, split season with Washington and the Bears, Montez Sweat has not been a double-digit sack machine by any means. Let's see. Let's see. Like, on the surface, it doesn't look good. But when it's real, and you have Dennis Allen, who is probably in the top 5 of defensive coordinators, let's see what they have in store for us and then adjust if need be. I'm okay. I know this sounds crazy. I'm okay with going into the season with what the Bears have and not bringing in a Za'Darius Smith or Jadeveon Clowney. I've heard those ideas. I've seen that out there. I want to see. Show it to me, Dennis Allen. Because we talk about Dennis Allen, how good he is at what he does. We talk about that with Ben Johnson. Let's see what a difference both of these coaches make before we go crazy with adding players.
One of the things that I remind people of when you talk about Dennis Allen and his experience calling plays is this is a guy who can mix it up. I don't believe, much like Ben Johnson in his offensive play calling in the preseason, I don't believe he's been doing that much mixing up to this point. But what we see with that full game plan,
oh yeah,
with Minnesota is going to tell us a lot.
Exactly.
You have a rookie quarterback out there. Let's find out what type of pressure is applied to the rookie quarterback. And I say that because after that Minnesota game, it goes Detroit, Dallas, Las Vegas, Washington. Those are much, much, much more experienced and better quarterbacks that you should be facing. And if you can't go 1-0, whew, 0-4 can come real quick before the bye week. It can come, no, I'm serious. It can come real quick. That is a reality.
It.
That's not me being negative.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of the situation.
I can't have it. I can't have it.
So I'm with you. But also, Ryan Poles, Ben Johnson, Dennis Allen, I hope those groceries you got were organic and premium. Don't be sit to the liquor store coming back with the well liquor.
I was at Trader Joe's yesterday, as a matter of fact. Got myself some real good organic drumsticks and put those in the oven last night. I had 2 drumsticks from Trader Joe's last night. See, I'm following up on the diet. I heard you guys talking about protein yesterday.
All protein.
So I had that little bit of whole wheat rigatoni with just a little bit of sauce. It was delicious. It was
fiber. You're going to be regular for days.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you can't cut out the carbs. That's silly. You got to stay regular. 312-644-6767 is the number. I see we've got Aaron in a semi truck. What's going on, Aaron? You're on the score. How's the semi, my man?
Ah, man, thank you. How you guys doing? I'm just going to keep it short and sweet. It would be great if at the end of the year I could trust that the Bears organization is heading in the right direction. Finally getting a GM that hits this thing called the layups. You know, a GM that it doesn't take 4 years for him to finally address the offensive line. So for me, success would be great if the Bears win, but it needs to be better for me if I can say goodbye to Ryan Poe. I want an organization that can hit the layups. I want a guy that can see that you need a left tackle and that you needed to address the offensive line and you don't use draft capital on trades for guys that are coming off of injury. I want the organization to hit the layup because I'm fine with the quarterback. He threw for 20 touchdowns last year, over 3,000 yards, and that was with a very bad coaching staff. I'm fine with him. I'll wait the 3-4 years for him. I'm tired of Ryan Poles. Let's get the organization to hit layups, and that would be great. If at the end of the year you think the organization is going in the right direction, I'm fine with that. Thank you, guys, and have a nice day.
Thank you very much for the call, Aaron. I will say this. I mean, he's right. You're right. Like, Ryan Poles did not hit on enough of his draft picks. There's no doubt. The two of them were cut yesterday, you know, with Tyler Scott and Zach Pickens. That does not say good things about the resume of Ryan Poles. However, they did hit a layup in terms of the signing of the interior of their offensive line. That is a layup. They signed three sturdy guys on the interior, which makes it huge for what the Bears are trying to do with their offensive line.
No, I'm with you there. I agree with Aaron. And listen, I'm on Ryan Poles' watch. I know he got the new contract. I know he's good, but I'm watching every single thing to understand who was the architect of the 2025 draft, because if they come up in some positions, running back, left tackle, where it's not good, I'm going to be looking squarely at his leadership and wondering how much did Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen have their fingerprints on the draft as well.
The Cubs lost last night. Unfortunately, they fall to the San Francisco Giants. 5-2 was the final score. And coming up next to talk about the game last night and to talk about the Chicago Cubs is their starting left fielder. He is Ian Happ, and he is next on the Raheem and Harris Show with me, Mark Rohde, and for Layla on The Score.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
Here's Ian Happ lining one down the right field line. Base hit up against the wall. Happ is going for a double, and he will have two bases.
Gold Glove Award winner.
And a high fly ball hit to deep left. Happ going back. He's at the track near the wall. Leaps, and he makes the catch. Another excellent play in left.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
Owen's awesome. He's Canadian.
Yeah. Oh, really? They didn't say that 48 times.
I don't know if you know that about Owen. He's Canadian. He's got juice, man. He's got juice. He gets the ball hard. He's got oppo juice. Just cool, like, to see the first hit. Cool to see backside homer.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has five fresh pots a day.
Ian Happ on 670 The Score.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
Welcome back to the Raheem and Harris Show on The Score. I am Mark Rohde, in for Layla Raheemi. Lails will return on Monday. We are standing by for Ian Happ after he and the Cubs lost to the Giants 5-2. There was a play last night. That was a late game, so I will be sort of specific in describing it, and we will ask Ian Happ about it, because he made what looked like a fantastic catch early in the game. Luis Matos at the plate hits one to foul territory and left. Ian Happ having to negotiate the screen, the net, however you like to reference it. He makes the play, which was a terrific play in left field. That's how you get a couple gold gloves. That's how you do it. But then, oh, those smart San Francisco Giants decided that they would review it because they thought the ball had maybe scraped the net. They reviewed it, and it was overturned, and that sucks. Like, to make a spectacular defensive play, and then it all gets called off.
No, when he made the play, I was like, I can't wait to ask Ian if he knew the ball hit the net and he was playing it off or not.
Right.
I couldn't tell. Like, we couldn't tell at first glance. And then so you wonder, because of the way he made the catch so quickly, maybe he didn't know that it hit the net. So he was just as curious as everybody else on the review.
Right, so you want to know if he knew. Like, if he the way he reacted, he did not get upset, but then again, Ian Happ, his resting face is stoic, always, right? The expression never changes, so you wouldn't know if he was upset with the reversal. That's why we'll ask him when he joins us here on The Score. Happer was 1-for-4 last night, scalded the ball a couple of other times, and it was a loss, and it was a rough one, man. It was a rough one because Matthew Boyd was kind of getting squared up in the game, even when he wasn't giving up a couple of home runs. It just felt like the Giants were kind of on to him last night. And Matt Chapman coming up with a big two-run homer in the sixth off of Boyd, which really put the game away. I know you had to have been annoyed by the Rafael Devers little bloop-ass hit that he hits into left field.
Well, it's because
which was the game, the go-ahead game-winning run.
The last time I had seen Rafael Devers coming out of the box, he was not exactly booking it down the line. And I immediately thought, and I know you saw this in the text chat, I was like, that dude could not play for my team without me getting very, very upset.
He didn't even attempt, and
he grounds into this 4-6-3 double play, but he didn't even attempt to make it tough of a turn. You know, a lot can happen in the exchange of a 4-6-3 double play. And so I was expecting somebody to be at least running down the line to make, you know, to force like a really quick throw and maybe a mistake. No, no, no. He was lollygagging down
the first
baseline.
Yeah. Well, does that surprise you? I mean, doesn't really surprise
Devers
me.
Devers has had a rough year. He probably didn't expect to see the team he got traded from be in the thick of the playoff race and the team he's on now to be pretty much out of the playoff race.
You know what this is, by the way, right now, as we're waiting for Ian Happ? This is Ian Happ rain delay theater we're doing right now. So we're just hanging out, waiting for Ian Happ. We'll see what comes out of our mouth. That was annoying last night. That was the word that I would use to describe the fifth inning of this game, because there was all sorts of stuff going on in the fifth inning. The Giants fifth. Cubs were leading the game, folks. It was 2-1. Cubs, Luis Matos with a leadoff double. Then Boyd. And I had faith because he's Matthew Damn Boyd this year. And he gets the next two outs. With a guy standing us, it's like, okay, he's going to get out of this thing. And then Elios Ramos with an RBI hit to tie the game at two. This is with two outs.
Ramos had Matthew Boyd's number all the way through.
Yeah.
He had a 3-for-3 night with a walk. And It looked like batting practice. That's the problem, right? And we'll hear from Matthew Boyd later in the show, but I'm a little concerned about the stepfather who stepped up at this point because it's been back-to-back poor outings. And the way the Giants hitters, like the Matt Chapman even, the way they were squaring him up, it was all square. It was not, oh, he got a little bit of that. No. The ball was being tattooed. And that's despite Matthew Boyd striking out 8, which is one off his season high.
Yeah, well, and our guy Ryan Parth brought up a pretty good point in our show meeting today that this is the most pitches that Matthew Boyd has thrown since the year 2019. So I didn't want to have to be talking about a pitch count for or pitches in general or having that to be something that is a layered topic, because we're already talking about that with Cade Horton and other pitchers who they are limiting in terms of their pitch count right now. So I don't think on the overall, like, I get where you're coming from. Last two games have not been good, and he might be. I mean, you can make a case that Matthew Boyd is their most important player, period, on this roster right now.
I don't think I'm ready to say that.
Well, I'm surprised that you wouldn't say that, because you're the one who is always talking about how get the Cubs into a series because they could do anything because they have three great pitchers at the top of the order, with Matt Boyd being the best of them. So I'm a little surprised that you would say that.
Well, the offense has still got offense.
No, there's no doubt.
So,
oh yeah, that's big. That's a big deal, and it's been a grind. But Matthew Boyd is, and those top three pitchers are what has kind of kept the Cubs afloat and where they are, and on an even keel, even if Milwaukee is running away from them.
We talk about creativity at the trade deadline. I don't talk about it. I heard Jed Hoyer talking about getting creative. And the thought that keeps popping into my mind every time a Cubs starter doesn't do the thing, man, Shane Bieber would certainly look good in a Cubs uniform.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, there were guys to be – don't believe the myth that no one was out there to be had, because there were guys to be had. And Shane Bieber – no, but other teams took chances that the Cubs did not.
No,
well, I guess
no doubt.
I guess the Cubs did take a chance. It just was on Michael Soroka. Yeah, we see how that worked out.
Yeah, and there wasn't much action, though, in terms of signing those elite starters.
I want to remind people, tonight the Cubs continue their series against the Giants. Pre-game coverage begins at 8:10, first pitch at 8:45 on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Rain delay theater has turned into rain delay postponement. I don't think Ian Happ's joining us right now. So.
Yeah. We're at least postponed. Hopefully he will be with us at some point in time on the show today. Maybe he'll join the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
Who knows? Everybody's allowed. It happens. But yeah, Rain Delay Theater is over. And somebody on the text line, I'd have to confirm this. We need our fact checkers on this. 5 straight losses in games that Boyd has started, says the texter.
That sounds quite accurate, actually, if you go back and look at what
I am uncomfortable going here.
Even when he had the outstanding 7-inning outing, they lost that game. And they won the game against Milwaukee, in which he gave up 4 runs. So not the last 5 games. They won their last game, which was against Milwaukee.
Tell you what, you never know what's going to happen on this show. So Ian Happ might pop up at any time. We shall see. But coming up next.
We got another guest.
We
just keep them coming.
Hopefully.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
So coming up next, either Mike Florio from the ProFootballTalk.com or Mike Florio, Rain Delay Theater, which would mean we'll just talk about the NFL and the Bears.
Mike's on time. He's on time. He's spot on.
His rhymes are always on time. He is next on the Raheem and Harris Show with me, Mark Grody, filling in for Layla on The Score.